chaperone can get a number. The world's in slumber, let's misbehave. There's something wild about you, child, that's so contagious. Let's be outrageous, let's misbehave. When Adam won Eve's hand, he wouldn't stand for teasing. He didn't care about those apples out of season. They say the spring means just one thing to little lovebirds. We're not above birds, let's misbehave. Let's misbehave. Let's misbehave.
If you'd be just so sweet and only meet your fate, dear, 'twould be the great event of 1928, dear.
Let's misbehave.
That it's Saturday morning, it is hot and cold. Good morning, I'm Tom. We could be good. We'll be good boys and girls. I know in Radio Land. You're all good people. Well, except for that, yeah, you over there. I'm watching you. This works both ways. You know, yeah, I know what's going on. Well, it's springtime. I'm gonna say it because I have to say it. When I leave the house, a little before 5 o'clock and it's daylight out, I am just giddy. I put the headlights on. I turned them off. That's the kind of guy I am. I said, no, I ain't driving no headlights on. Damn it. That sun is up. So give me 6 months and I'll be complaining again. So, if you've had the occasion to, drive by our place of business down in Stockton Springs, right across from Just Barb's restaurant. Last Wednesday, we got paved. I want to tell you, we got the whole parking lot paved. It cost mucho dinero. I will be paying for this for a while. But, what a difference. I mean, you know, people come in and they say hello and stuff, and you've come in and there's potholes and there's ditches and there's, if it's rained, there's mud, there's little rivers and lakes and it's all gone. And it rained on Thursday, which is perfect for cooling down the pavement. And my feet didn't get wet. I didn't track mud in anywhere. It absolutely amazing. So here I am now. You know, it's been the situation where we track dirt into the buildings before it was paved. Well, Pete cleaned the office up, so no dirt's coming in anymore. We'll be a couple times getting it all squared away, but I found that if I go into my workshop and then I walk outside, there's footprints on the new asphalt from the dirt in the shop from the days when I would drive stuff in and it was dirty. We'll get that taken care of. We'll get it sorted out. I know we will. But in the meantime, what's today, Saturday? We're not opening the parking lot till Monday. We are open. We've been open all week. Been a rather quiet week because there's no cars out. And I have to say, with pavement, it looks huge. I be curious to see if we've created more area. It could be. I mean, it could be that it's just some mystery of science there that we've made, but it looks good. Very pleased. I can't wait to get the cars on it, but I can't rush that either. So we decided that we have all the cars sequestered, most of the cars sequestered out back. So if you want to test drive a car, we can actually move cars in and out today. But we're not officially putting them out till Monday, giving the pavement as much opportunity cure as possible. So, you know, I talked to the guys doing the paving. I said, how long? They said 72 hours. Okay. So I said, well, let me look it up online. Maybe I could cheat here. And here's the thing about looking up stuff online. If it's some places say, you know, it's got to be hot so the pavement can cure. Other places say the pavement has to cure, it has to cool down. And it's not both. It's one or the other. And cooling down, I think, is the process. But anyway, excited to have it done. We did have a lady come in, because I talked about using chalk on the new pavement, who gave me a big box of the big chunky chalk. And Pete is not happy about this. He doesn't want me drawing on the pavement. Well, I paid for the pavement. And if I want to draw on it, I'm going to. So right now I can think, well, we could do hopscotch. I don't know. I'm not sure how you play that, but I've never played hopscotch in my life. But it could be a start. Or we could get little RC cars and drive around a big, huge racetrack. I'm just not sure. We'll figure it out. So part of the car inventory is parked at my house. The cars, we had somebody want to take a car to get checked out, got parked at my house. some of the cars that I use that are not up for sale are at my house. So there's depending on the day, there may be five cars parked at my house. And as I was leaving this morning, I said to my wife, you know, the keys are there if you want to take a car for a drive, which is a family joke because my wife does not drive. And she says, I think, depending on the day, I get partial blame for this, I think undeservedly. But back in 1976, I was showing her how to put the car in drive and reverse in the driveway. And she says, I hollered at her. Well, the driveway was about 30 feet long and we're out into the street. And maybe, again, I am half Italian, and people who are Italian can raise their voice, not in anger, just in exuberance for life. And I think that's probably what happened. There was some exuberant feeling I had that we were going to drive it back into the street and die. So she just didn't want to drive. So I said, well, look, if I give you $100, would you drive the car? Now, this is wholly illegal because she doesn't have a license. She says, for $1,000, I'd do it. Now, I thought, well, we as a family, my four kids and I, we could pool the money. Or I got thinking about it. We could do a GoFundMe to get my wife to drive the car. But this is a money-making opportunity. This is not just frivolous money to my wife for driving a car. We videotape it, or we make a video, excuse me, and we put it on YouTube, because I would guarantee you it will be big driving fun, and it will make money on the YouTube. You know, the kids, or well, we could put, I don't know, TikTok, does that monetize? I'm not sure. Or we could take her down to the parking lot. We got this parking lot now. And we got to take a break because it is 8:15. That means we got to pay the bills, not for the parking lot, for everything else. Keep the lights on right here at the radio station. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. We'll be right back.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up. up a parking lot.
It's 8:20. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. So a little bit of a downer this week. The piano player for Electric Light Orchestra, which is playing this song, Richard Tandy, who, if you watch the live videos of ELO, I'm looking right now at the Hyde Park video 2014, which is excellent video, crisp, clean, and Richard is the piano player and has been the piano player for most of Electric Light Orchestra. And he kind of caught my eye. You know, when I if this is a song I like and I'm watching the video, I will scrutinize the players. And if somebody in particular impresses me, I will find out their name. This one guy is Richard Tandy, the piano player. And Richard started out as a guitarist, picked up piano just by cosmic interference or something, and he looks, they're all British in the group. Looks like he's a little bit on the sour side, you know, a dour kind of British guy. But when he does this part for Mr. Blue Sky, I'll bring it up here. Hang on here, I didn't cue it exactly. Here we go. This part, here it comes. Here we go. So he's doing the computer voice thingy there. And, you know, he looks kind of like, you know, he might be having a crummy day. And then you just see a smile as you're watching the video. The guy's just, he's just into it. And anyway, so unfortunately, Richard, who was 76, we lost this week. And I mean, these guys, you know, they're all aging out. But he, I read up on him after I realized who he was and, you know, what he did. And he said, of all the time these guys spent together, they always enjoyed themselves. And, you know, what more could you ask for out of life? So, Richard got on to the Great Reward, and we will miss him. I'm not sure he was performing anymore because he was, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was not there, but a little bit of an upset for the week. What was an otherwise okay week. So, last weekend, my youngest child, my daughter, moved from Bangor down to Trenton. She'll be working in Bar Harbor over the summer, and was struggling to find accommodations, a place to live. And fortunately, she found a place. So we moved her to Trenton. She had moved, I think, some stuff. And Maria and I went on Sunday to help her. So I've got this truck. And Maria brought a full-size SUV. And my daughter has a small car. So I have this 2012 Tundra that I picked up. at auction with a plow. It's a plastic Homesteader plow, which is exactly what I had in my old truck, which I sold. So I'm all set. And I had my Toyota guy check it out, and his email to me, this is a truck with 215,000 miles on it. But, I don't use a truck that much. I just want a truck that's reliable. Occasionally I have to go get some plywood or whatever, and, an elliptical machine, whatever it happens to be. I need to have a truck. And I want to be able to plow. So I found this truck, and it was reasonable. It was within reason price-wise. So anyway, I plows off the truck. We're going to move my daughter. We load up the truck, load up the SUV, load up her car, and we take off for Trenton. I'd driven up from Stockton Springs to Bangor. Everything's fine. Like, this truck shifts like butter. It's like, it's just perfect. It runs like a dream, as we would expect a Toyota truck might. So I'm on the road, and I'm going through Wilson Street and Brewer, and I'm at the light by the Hannaford. Stop for the light. Light changes. I hit the throttle, and the truck is just barely moving. Like, oh boy, I got all my kids' stuff in the back. It's not covered. It's going to rain, maybe. And it eventually moves. So I call my mechanic. I don't like to call any of the people I work with on the weekend, but this was freaking me out a little bit because there's a lot of traffic lights on Wilson Street and all the way to Trenton. I mean, you're going to hit some lights. And every light it was happening, same thing. It would go, but it'd go real slow. Call my mechanic, no answer. It's Sunday. He doesn't have to talk to me. Well, I left a message. I said, call me back. So he called. I did make it to where she was moving. Every stop, though, it did the same thing. So we unloaded everything. And in my SUV, I have a little OBD2 scan tool. It's a Bluetooth, so it links up to my phone. So I plugged it in. After we were done, I said, let's get everything unloaded. Then I'll worry about truck. I have AAA if I have to use it. So I get in I get it in, I plug it in, it says the transmission is slipping. Oh, good, that makes me feel so much better. It didn't feel like it was slipping so much, but OBD2 says it's slipping. So there were a couple other codes that didn't really were not germane, but I cleared everything, get in the truck, I got to drive back, and I'm driving back, everything's fine. So my mechanic calls me back. He was in church, and Mr. Pagan here is calling people in church on Sunday morning. I felt really stupid about it, but, life happens. Anyway, he was nice enough to call me back, and we got talking about it a little bit. And he says, well, I think when there's an issue, it goes into limp mode, which would go into only stay in third gear. And that's where I was. You're starting out a truck or any vehicle in third gear. It takes a while to build up some speed. It was a limp mode. So got it to him, and it was low on ATF fluid. Not a lot, but it was enough, obviously, to cause the issue. And we think that was the only issue. So here's the thing, though. And this is not just Toyota Tundras. This is all trucks. Can you correct me if I'm wrong? There are no dipsticks for transmissions anymore. If you want to check the transmission fluid on your truck, and my last truck was a 2011 F-150, same deal. You got to get underneath the vehicle, which means usually having it on a lift, and there's a drain plug on the bottom, obviously, but there's a plug on the side, which is the fill port. You take that plug out, and you put in fluid till it overflows, and you're done. Now, my limited skills as a mechanic, I do mechanic stuff. I'm not a mechanic. I haven't been trained. I'm not a car guy in the sense of design or whatever. What the hell are they thinking? We talk about the right to repair. Excuse me. it was a simple, it's a simple matter to take a dipstick out, check the fluid level, put it back in. And I would gladly pay $100 or $200 extra to have that opportunity to check that fluid level that I cannot check now. And you cannot check. You have a truck. And I suspect, I don't think I'm wrong here, most vehicles have gone this route. And you want to talk about stupid. I knew it was on my last truck. And then I got this. I realized it had it. And you just hope that it's okay. But because I didn't ask him to check it when I gave it to him to give it once over. But so we changed the fluid, we changed the filter, and somebody had been into it, and he thought it was a little bit low either because they misfilled it, or maybe there's a little leakage around. Looked like there could have been a little leakage around the gasket at one point. It was a quirk gasket. But here's the thing: usually when I fill a transmission, I go back if there's a dipstick, I go back and double check it. You know, maybe there's a little fluid that didn't get into the Fratostat over next to the Husumagatsis. And that's gone, man. Unless you want to crawl underneath your truck or you have the luxury of a lift. Or you take it to your local mechanic every time you want to check the fluid, which I'm sure they're tickled to put it on the lift just to check the fluid level. I mean, granted, maybe you take it in for an oil change, but that's another story. Not good. I'm not, and you know, we dodged a bullet. It wasn't a big deal, but it's just, when I realized this was something that was becoming an industry standard, what a stupid thing. Anyway, we got to take a break. I've calmed down. Okay. It's the world we live in. It is 8:30. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us. It's 8:36, hot and cold Saturday morning. Hey, I came across these guys. It's not guys specifically. It's a YouTube channel called Playing for Change. And this is not a band per se. This is a number of bands and musicians all playing together. They're all over the world. They have a whole bunch of cuts. I just got to look at it more. It's really good because there's a lot of instruments that wouldn't normally play together that all sound very good because, you know, somebody in Louisiana and Japan might not get the opportunity to play whatever it is they play. But good stuff. I really like it. So after my little tirade there, I did get online and I looked, because I know there are some aftermarket dipsticks you can get. I know the Ford had one. Toyota does not. And the rationale behind the elimination of the dipstick is that the transmission is pressurized. Maybe somebody out there who's a practicing mechanic, maybe this is a question for the car doctor. I did try sending some to the car doctor this week, and it would it wouldn't let me. I was on his website, and I had a comment I wanted to send in, and I was going to send him some stuff, and it didn't accept it. Then I tried sending a message, and nothing went through. So I don't know. Maybe he's got me blocked. That could happen. But apparently it's pressurized, and the dipstick wouldn't allow that to happen. I don't know. I just know I'm not happy about it because, the other thing is sealed for life. No, that's not a thing. Sealed for life doesn't work. You need to change fluids. I don't care how sealed it is. Granted, no dirt gets in, but stuff wears. Things get contaminated. The fluid that we changed out this past week was dirty. The truck has 215,000 miles on it. And I should have said change the transmission fluid. But, you know, when you change transmission fluid, you're only changing a third, maybe 40. If you're lucky, maybe you get to 40 or 50% because the torque converter and things hold fluid. And the idea behind the pressurization of the transmission is to get fluid into little passages to make it work. Anyway, not happy about that. You got that message already. We've got a message here from Chris Downs, who is on with George and Rick, talking computers. He says, I've got some surface rust to deal with on my 2010 Tundra. Do you have a go-to for paintable rust-stopping primer? You can get the Rust-Oleum type stuff that is called conversion coating, which converts rust to a primer that will seal itself. There is another product out, and it's in the paint sort of accessory aisle, Home Depot, the areas where they have alcohol and acetone and stuff like that. It's a spray-on rust preventer. It's phosphoric acid, basically, and that's what conversion coating is. Obviously, if it's bubbled paint, you got to sand it down, and then I would apply it. I would also then go let it cure for a day or two. If you got some penetration into the metal, I would be using some short strand fiberglass and then prime the heck out of it. I find if it's at the bottom like of a door that you're not going to see or it doesn't matter too much, I will then coat it after I painted it with primer. I will coat it with something like Leak Seal, which is similar to a truck bed liner. And then you can paint over that once that cures. And it's lumpy. You know, it's not a smooth, beautiful surface, but it's down low. I'd rather look at that than rust. And I'd rather deal with that than rust. So hope that helps. Before I forget, I want to tell you about our friends at General Appliance and Brewer. They're open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. On Center Street in Brewer, if you're looking for parts or service, give them a call at 989-4341. That's 989-4341. I got some messages here. In older transmissions, we're supposed to check the level with the engine running and up to temperature. Well, that's fun, yeah. That's going to be a fun thing to do. I don't think, I suspect it's different with the new transmissions. I don't think they're supposed to be running. But yes, you remember there was a hot and cold indicator on the dipsticks. That ship has sailed, boys and girls. So, you know, you spend $60,000 to $100,000 for a brand new truck, and you're supposed to live with that and assume that that transmission is going to be okay sealed for how long? I guess routine maintenance. I guess they want you to take it to the dealer. Tom, who is the band on the outro to this break? Oh, God. I don't remember. No. Give me a minute to think about it. It'll come to me. Don't ask me questions like that. I can't remember that kind of stuff. That was 10 minutes ago. You call the car doctor today and play on the radio tomorrow. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to call him. Not today. somebody's writing a song. I got those low down, slow down, ain't got no dipstick blue. That's good. I like that. Yeah. You know, it's not like transmissions are not problematic or a GM, you know, one of my mechanic friends services GM transmissions all the time. Torque converter or transmission. There's always something popping on a GM transmission. What a joy. Come on. You know, and I understand technology's got to improve. And we maybe are slowly advancing, but I'm not sure losing the dipstick. I would rather have a dipstick that's pressurized where there's a plug in the top. And I had to coil up it's got the tube. We plug it off so it can maintain pressure. And the dipstick stays in a little bag in the trunk. You take it out, you wipe it down, and you put it in and check. Okay? The Mercedes, my first experience with this was with Mercedes. Years ago, I bought a Mercedes ML SUV with 160,000 miles on it. And it had a couple of things. It was at Cars by Us, my friend Woody over there. And it was a nice vehicle. So I bought it. My daughter was going to school in Vermont. And I didn't have a vehicle that was all-wheel drive. And that vehicle went anywhere. I felt it was very safe. It was a great car. And one day I towed, I think seven electric cars. These are from what, 1975. They were called L cars. They're made by an Italian company, Zagato. And Zagato Zele was the car. And I just loved the look of the car. It was a little box on wheels. It was a stupid little car. but anyway, I towed one down. I had a little trailer. Got a trailer hitch. It's a Mercedes. Excuse me. It was a six-cylinder. Car weighed nothing. I towed it down. We were moving from Bangor to Stockton. And the Mercedes went into the transmission went into limp mode. And not knowing any better, I took it to a dealer. And they said, well, now I paid $4,000 for the car back in the day. I said, well, Tom, this is sealed transmission. We don't change the fluid because it's a sealed transmission. You know, my BS meter is going off the chart here already. That's $7,000 for a new transmission. And then we're not playing this game. So I found a mechanic who specialized in Mercedes. He says, well, we'll change the fluid. That's not what the dealer said. Hello? So we changed the fluid, and guess what? Problem solved. But that had the dipstick tube with no dipstick. And I subsequently found out, as I was learning more and more about cars, you can buy an aftermarket Mercedes dipstick. I think the first one I bought was expensive. And then I had gotten rid of that car, and I got another one years later. And I knew what I was dealing with at that point. I had some mechanical ability and wasn't stupid enough to take it to the dealer. And, I mean, there's a place for the dealer, but that, you know, come on. Change the damn fluid. What do you mean you don't change the fluid? You can go to any auto parts store and buy gaskets. This is not rocket. If you could change the gasket, you're changing the fluid. Hello? Yeah, I'm okay. Let's see. The Flecktones. Thank you. Somebody out there has a memory. That was the song that the person was asking about is called Sinister Minister, and it's Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. See, I have some memory cells left. They're not a lot, but thank you for the clue. I've got a secret. Let's see. Loctite Rust Neutralizer is an excellent product. They're all basically the same. They're Loctite makes it, Rust-Oleum makes it, and it's basically phosphoric acid. And you put phosphoric acid on rust, and it turns black, and it kind of encapsulates the rust. You still have to. You should do some surface prep. And I'm drawing a blank on the. I'll look there in the next break to see if I can find the name of the material that I got. I got like a half gallon of it for the cost of a little container of Rust-Oleum or Loctite. And I've got some in a spray bottle, which is great fun. I mean, this stuff is brush on if you get it from Loctite or whatever. I put it in a spray bottle because that's what my friend Nat, the machinist, does. And you have to be upwind from when you use a spray bottle, because I'll spray it on something, and next thing I know, I'm getting an acid wash on my face, which is a unique sense. Maybe that's why I look so young. I'm not sure. Speaking of which, our phone number, unrelated, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line, 601-207-4478. Text message, maybe the pressure is higher now if an automatic transmission operates by hydraulics, and in theory it has to be pressure. I guess that's pressure. You left off the end of it. But, yeah, well, that's what they said. It is pressurized, which is why they've eliminated dipstick. I'd rather have the dipstick there and pressurized with a cap on the top that I could unscrew with a gasket so I could manually check the fluid. We could inspect the fluid without having it on a lift. This goes to the right to service. You know, you're making it difficult for a consumer to even check, short of going to you can go to your mechanic. I'm sure your mechanic is going to love it if you have to. They're putting it on the lift just to check the fluid, and you know sometimes you just got to top things off. And it's nice to be able to check everything. And I'm intrigued by, as I get older, how people don't know what fluids to check or don't even ask or don't look at the manual. and in some cars, there's multiple places to check. It is, like in a Prius, there's two reservoirs with antifreeze, one for the electronics, one for the gas engine. And they're easy to check. They're marked, but you need to look at them and you need to know what's going on. But we can go to the phones now if I hit that button. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. Dave from Absolute Transmission. How's it going today?
Hey, good. How are you? Just the guy I want to talk to.
Not too bad. Yeah. So the dipsticks aren't pressurized. The transmission has to be vented to the atmosphere because as it heats and contracts, the fluid expands and contracts inside.
Sure.
And if it was completely sealed, it would blow the seals out.
Okay. So why we got no dipsticks, Dave?
Engineers suck. I don't know. It's more of a, they're trying to bring it back to the dealership. You know, obviously yeah. You can buy dipstick just like we can and anybody else can. So it's just, I think that's the thing. It's just look at the drive people away from opening the hood in their own vehicle and getting greasy and learning about them.
Yeah.
You know, they all fail. Doesn't matter. I always tell everybody, just pick whatever flavor you like and that way there when it breaks, you don't mind paying to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, it's good to have a word of wisdom from somebody who knows what they're talking about as opposed to me. So,
have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye bye. That's good to know. So where's the aftermarket? I found one for the Ford, and the tricky part with the Ford one was you had to, you put in the tube, the dipstick tube. And then you had to fool around with the length of the dipstick, I guess depending on how you installed it. You're actually making that first measurement and adjusting the dipstick, which, you know, hey, how would I ever screw something like that up? So I'm misreading it for the rest of my life. But I didn't see it for the Tundra. But I will look further because with God as my witness, if there's an opportunity to put a dipstick in that vehicle, it's getting a dipstick. So we got that going on. A few fleeting moments left. When I get in here Saturday morning, usually or I sign in and get the computer going, all the Rick stuff is up. And he has all the news feeds from everybody. I think it was Portland Press Herald had the headline, all these big pot grow operations they're finding throughout the state of Maine. Then they're all run by Chinese, what appear to be Chinese people, or are Chinese people. It might be tied to Chinese crime. I don't tell anybody. Might be. excuse me. And I'm not being racist in any way, but if every big operation they're finding is run by folks from China or from Chinese origin, A, it's a crime anyway, so it is, but it seems likely that there's underwriting from somewhere, from some kind of, you don't put a big operation in with no money. So I thought that was a great headline. let's see. Oil dipsticks are on the way out too. Electronic oil level monitoring. That's great. Now, as long as there's something that tells me what the level is, that's okay. And even if there was an electronic monitor that told you what the status of the fluid was in terms of contamination, which probably is a cheap thing to do, that's okay. I would accept that. But flying blind is nonsense. Now, generally speaking, if there was no engine dipstick, hopefully, you never have, you know, in between oil changes, you shouldn't have to add oil. A lot of cars do. It's just fact of aging automobiles. And you got to know when you should add oil. And if there's no, well, there's always a fill thing anyway, but I don't know. For all the whining everybody does about electric cars, you don't have to check the fluids on them. Well, you do check coolant. But that you could see, I think. So, I did come across a study about failures of electric car batteries, and it's been a precipitous drop in terms of failures, which, you know, I would expect. I would expect to see a lot of failures early on because car manufacturers didn't know what they were doing. You would hope they would, but they didn't. And I'm talking like 2015, there was a high percentage of failure, like 30-some% of hybrid, not hybrid, electric car batteries were failing. And now it's down very, very low. It's a fraction of a percent. And it's expensive to fix them. So you would hope they would learn. And apparently they have. All right, I got to take a break. I got to calm down. It's hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. We'll be back in a little bit. Stay with us.
Joy to know. Fall.
If we, do you know the words? We can sing along. Do you know? You know the words, don't you? If I was Gene Shepherd, I'd have my kazoo out right about. It's hot and cold Saturday morning, hour numero dos. Está aquí, amigos. Buenos días. Buenas noches for later. Hot and cold. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. So I mentioned first hour last Sunday. Moved my youngest daughter, and they got that all done, got through all the car antics and stuff. And I went home, took a nap. And I got up from the nap, and I said, you know, you got to do stuff, Tom. You just can't take naps on Sunday. What's that all about? You day off, you're going to take a nap? So I had, you know, I put the solar system up last year, I guess last autumn, and got it running. It was February, I think. And I discovered after I had it running that each panel, the 28 panels, each panel has its own micro inverter, of which I picked up used. And I had 8 of the 28 did not work. I said, well, okay, I've got 4 here that were spares. I'll swap out with the bad ones. And I found 2 of the 4 didn't work. So note to self, used micro inverters, which is basically electronics, not without testing. And these were supposedly tested. So I got one to test out, a new one that actually receives the input from 4 panels, which is great. So it kind of mitigates the fact that I still had, I had some that still were not functioning. So I had, and in the array of the 28 panels, I can have microinverters kind of daisy chain. They hook together. And you can have 12 networks, if you will, of 12 or banks of 12. 12 panels, each with its own microinverter, goes back to a circuit breaker. So I had 12, 12, and 4. So I've got this replacement that does 4. But logistically, so I got it set up, and it hooked it up, and it worked. But then I had to reconfigure all the other panels so they were, because the way I did it, things got all bollocksed up. So I spent more time unplugging and replacing. It's all plug and play, so it's not complicated, but it just took time because I'm on staging and I'm going back. It's a big array, so you're bouncing around trying to get them sorted out. Took more time getting the 2 additional banks back in line. So that was Sunday, and I felt really good about it. It was a long, it took a while. I mean, an hour and a half. It wasn't a long, long time, but it was, I spent less time putting in the new control, taking out the old ones, than I did reconfiguring everything because I, you know, had to move some stuff around and unplug it, and I get together. It's the male and female connectors. I go to plug the last ones in, and there's two males that ain't going, so... Anyway, got it sorted out, and came back Monday. Actually, I went out Monday morning at, about 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that, and checked I have 3 banks of panels to check what was going on, and they were all functioning. It gets really good sun all day long. There's no shade, and even if it was shaded, the other panels would work. Which is the beauty of the microinverters. But it was working, and it looked good. But, I mean, at 8 a.m., it's not real clear yet. It turned out Monday was a relatively clear day. I came back at 10:30, and two of the banks, the new one and one of the other original ones, seemed to be at full output. The third one, apparently I've accumulated all the currently defective panels into that one controls into that one. So I'll be changing those around at some point. And what's kind of nice about it is, again, I built this as a carport, and all I have to do is be on a stepladder or on staging, and I'm right there. And this stuff, This isn't like traditional wiring. You just plug things together. So that was most... I did do a little conventional wiring because I had to move a junction box to tie into. But that was simple. And the rest of it was all just plug and play. So it was pretty cool. And it's not something I want to do for a living. But it works. So I'm curious to see what this next electric bill will tell me. We should be getting to the point where it zeros out. So that'll be nice. Let's see. What else we got? In my ongoing car saga, I had a car that we picked up that I wanted to put seat covers on. I don't normally go to seat covers because most seats are cleanable. These were that bad, but I said, I'm going to put seat covers on. And I got online and I ordered a set of seat covers. Excuse me. And they came in. I think they were like $90 for a Corolla. And front seat, back seat. And I put them on and they fit, kinda. And they didn't look good. They didn't completely cover the seat. And it was a generic fit kind of deal. So they had covers for the headrests that were absolutely stupid looking. And everything kind of has to match, so you got to use the headrest covers. You know what? I've gotten to a point, if I get something on eBay, I just return it. If it's not right or I don't like it, it's going back. So I sent them back. And I found another vendor that made a really good-looking seat cover. And I ordered it. And it said it was custom-made. And I didn't really pay much attention. I was just dazzled by the fabric. It looked really good. Looked like it was going to be a good fit. And it took forever. And they came this week. And I go out. And I'm looking at the box. Oh, they came the day they were paving. So, and we had sequestered ourselves in the office. It only took about 3.5 hours to pave the whole lot. It's a quarter acre, and they knocked it right out. But so we're sequestered in the office. The UPS guy came, left it on a parked car we had on the grass. And I eventually got, and I'm looking at the box as they're paving, and I couldn't go out. By the way, the pavement was like 186 degrees. I checked the temperature as they were doing it. But I snuck over and got the box. I said, this box does not look big enough. And I opened it up, and there's seat covers. I said, well, maybe. After they left, I went out in the shop. I opened it up, and I look. And I've got back seat covers, no front seat covers. I go back and look at the ad, and I ordered back seat covers, not front seat covers. I need all front and rear seats. They got to match. So I had to order the front seat cover. They're custom made, which took a while to get them. And they fit good. They look excellent. And so I put the I've got the seats out of the car, which makes it a lot easier to put seat covers on. And so I put the back seat in yesterday. And it looks, I'm very pleased. Very pleased with it, except I got to wait now for the front seats. But we'll get there. And it'll be a net positive when we're done. Let's see. Comment here. We had a 2000 Impala that had tranny power flushed. Car had drivability issues from that point forward. Not a fan of power flushes for that reason. Drive a manual, so not an issue for me. Yeah, a lot, you know, some mechanics are really pretty adamant about not changing fluid if it's not maintained regularly. I find that a little hard to believe. I kind of think that flushing has its place. But again, I'm not the expert on that. How thick of steel would you patch a 2007 Chevrolet half-ton pickup frame with? Oh, God. You're asking me this, right? I don't know. I would say somewhere north of eighth inch thick steel, and I'd want somebody who really knows what they're doing, doing frame repairs, and they are out there, And but I'm not the guy to answer that question. Heavy. It's got to be heavy. I know that. And you don't want to have it fail on you, especially if you're investing on having it done. All right, we're going to take a break. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm going to get on the old turnpike, and I'm going to ride. I'm going to leave this town until you decide which one you want the most,
them Opry stars or me.
Milwaukee, here I come from Nashville, Tennessee.
Milwaukee is where we were before we came here, working in a brewery, making the finest beer. You came to me on payday night and said, let's go to Tennessee. So we drove down to Nashville to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on the old turnpike and I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna leave this town till you decide which one you want the most,
them Opry stars or me.
Milwaukee, here I come from Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash, left my mama a goodbye note. By sundown, I left Kingston with my guitar up under my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA. For the next 3 weeks, I went a-haunting them nightclubs looking for a place to play. Well, I thought my picking would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man. Well, I nearly about starved to death down in Memphis. I run out of money and luck, so I bummed me a ride down to Macon, Georgia, on an overloaded poultry truck. I thumbed on down to Panama City, started checking out some of them all-night bars, hoping I could make myself a dollar making music on my guitar. Got the same old story to them all-night peers. There ain't no room around here for a guitar man. But don't need a guitar man, son. So I slept in hobo jungles, bombed a 1,000 miles of track, till I found myself in Mobile, Alabama, at a club they called Big Jack's. A little four-piece band was jamming, so I took my guitar and I set in. I showed them what a band would sound like with a swinging little guitar man. Show 'em, son.
Yeah. The immortal Jerry Reed right there. Guitar Man. I think that was his big first big one right there. First big hit. What a guitarist he was. What a instrumentalist. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. I expect we'll hear from Pete this morning. In case you didn't hear first hour, we got our driveway paved last Wednesday, and it is curing. So the driveway is blocked off. We've been open all week, and some people have found us. There may be what he's dealing with today. And it's a little complicated because we do have cars there just out back. We're to a point now, if somebody wanted to test drive, we can drive across the parking lot. We just can't leave anything parked on it. So the plan is to not bring cars out today, but Monday all the cars will be back out. Give it as much time as we can to cure, given the money that I hemorrhaged on Wednesday. But it does look good, and I never thought I'd be thrilled about making a parking lot, but it is, you know, if you deal with mud and dirt and stuff for a while, it seems pretty good. So, and I think Pete's really serious about getting a skateboard. So I think that's, that could be interesting. I got to call line one. Let's go right there. Whoa, the button is stuck. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good.
I've got 20-year-old shingles.
Yep.
80 mile an hour grade. And I'm thinking of using that new soybean oil conditioner.
Okay.
Read up on it at all? Or?
I have not. I've heard about it. It's worth a try. I mean, it will do something for you, but The other thing you can do is you can actually paint shingles with latex acrylic paint that will work house paint, but it doesn't look the same because shingles have sort of a two-tone effect to them. There's different color granules on them, but I think it if the shingles aren't real deteriorated or cupping, that ought to work for you. So let's see. If I do this, I guess I have to do it because we get to that point on Saturday morning when line number three rings. And that can mean just one thing, that a guy who could run for governor of the state of Maine, a young man who we would have to consider my fortunate son. And that would be Pete. Good morning, Pete. Pete? Hang on. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Okay.
All right.
Good morning.
I solved the border crisis this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to invade Mexico.
I thought you were talking about our parking lot border.
No. We're going to take over Mexico. We're going to have a convoy of construction crews waiting. Nothing but Dollar Generals and Chick-fil-A's. And we're going to go streaming down into Mexico. Well, we're going to break it up into states. We're going to chop it up into 10 states. So we've got a 30 by 20 pattern on the flag, 60 stars.
Okay.
That's going to solve all the problems. They're all Americans now.
Okay.
And then our southern border is very small because the southern border of Mexico is very small. So problem solved there.
You know?
It's a win, win, win.
That's good, Pete.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Point two.
Oh, there's another
now
one.
Now that it's passed and over, I mean, can we all kind of agree that the eclipse was not that, like we were all kind of forcing it with the eclipse?
Well, we were.
It was neat. It was neat. But, I mean, like, I think everybody was forcing the interest.
Yeah, it wasn't. I've been through full eclipses, and I wasn't this time because we were in Stockton Springs. But even in Stockton Springs, it was kind of cool.
It was kind of neat. Yeah, it was neat. I'm not saying it was nothing. I'm just saying it seems like people were pushing it, like, to seem like they were way more into it than they were.
I mean, you know, it wasn't. It is what it is. I mean, it's just a natural occurrence. Happens every 20 or 40 years, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, I mean, if it hadn't happened, I don't think anybody would have noticed.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for that, Pete.
What else have I got?
So you got customers? What the hell's going on over there this morning?
No, I had to run over to the post office, and I decided to go before. Usually I go after I call in.
Yeah.
But I decided to go before this
morning.
Oh,
thank you. That's okay. That's all right. Nobody wants to hear from you anyway, I guess.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't.
Oh, man. So
Speaking of car stuff, though.
Yeah. Yes. Please.
I got my spark plugs changed this week.
Yes.
And now you bust my stones about this. Like, I'll have stuff replaced, not necessarily broken.
Right.
But like, you just kind of get a feel. Like, there's certain things that, like, I don't know how old the spark plugs in there are.
Yeah.
So it's belt. Like, I feel I'm a major proponent of spend a little bit of money now, so you don't have to spend a lot of money later.
Right.
And they were the original spark plugs. My car is a 2011.
Yeah.
They almost couldn't get him out. They were afraid they were gonna. They went and got. I took it to Sears for Automotive, and the mechanic went and grabbed Ron, the owner. He's like, "You got to do this, so that way you know I didn't break them." So, but he got him out.
Yeah.
And get this: new spark plugs. My fuel economy's gone up about 3 miles per gallon.
Really? Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's way up. Like I drive a regular Highlander, just gas powered. Usually, I'm averaging 20 miles per gallon, something around there, between distance and around town, and I'm at 23 point something right now.
Wow. And you're you're just doing short jumps. You're not doing highway driving where it would be.
Well, I mean, if I go to Bangor, that's a good, you know, that's a good 30 miles, but.
Yeah, but that's sort of start and stop a little bit.
Well, once you get to Bangor, everything's start and stop, so balance, it averages.
Yeah.
But I was impressed with the difference in fuel economy for changing out the spark plugs.
Good.
Get your spark plugs changed, boys and girls.
Yeah.
That's about all that's going on. I mean, I moved a bunch of rocks yesterday.
So we got a text message here. Pete sounds like a boy who hasn't seen totality and is upset everybody else has.
No, I legitimately don't care. I could have driven 40 minutes in my car when it had the bad spark plugs.
Yeah.
And seen the totality. I've been outside at night, so, you know.
Okay.
I still got taxes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had a whole line of customers that day, didn't we?
Somebody showed up like literally 3 minutes before it hit like the
max
point
here. Yeah. I actually forgot about that. Yeah.
I think he was trying to sell us something, though.
All right. It could be. No. I have blocked it. So the I've talked about the driveway, obviously, in your absence.
Mm.
And we've hidden the chalk, you know.
Yeah, well, we can't draw on it yet anyway.
No, we're not drawing on it.
Got it set up for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Monday, we're going to have all the cars back out front.
Yes.
And it'll be open and you can pull in.
Yeah. But what we're going to do as we bring the cars out one by one, we're going to have our little portable shop vac, and we're going to vacuum every one of them because there's not going to be mud and dirt going into them the way there has been for 5 years, however many years we've been there doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, what a mess. It's going to be nice not to have that kind of stuff going
on. I know. Boy. What's unfortunate is it's like a good solid 2 weeks before it's proper set up.
Yep.
So I haven't bought the skateboard yet because I know if I get it now, I'm going to use it. So
yeah.
I have to wait.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't, because if you cut a bunch of little tracks into this, he's going to get real mad.
I don't think that'll happen, but we're waiting to move anything heavy like our forklift. And I'm half tempted to tell the dumpster guy not to come, except the dumpster's getting pretty full.
Dumpster's not getting done until three weeks from now.
Yeah,
yeah, so. We got plenty of time there.
Okay.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was us talking about our dumpster getting emptied. If you have any questions, feel free to text or call.
Well, the dumpster bill came in this morning on my phone. I was just looking at it there. It's been an exciting morning so far.
What else? So we talked about spark plugs, annexing Mexico. The eclipse was a bunch of nonsense. The pavement looks nice.
Yeah,
I'm not going to give them a bump by name because they did a couple of things that I didn't care for. But the actual work looks nice.
Yeah, the where the drive. And 20 years ago, when we bought the property, I had to call the Department of Transportation because to officially have a permit to come across into the property. This is something you have to do if you're on a major road like Route 1. So I might have to do it residentially. I don't know for sure. I knew I had to do it. So I had to get that permit from DOT. And the DOT guy, and I think his name was Dave.
Let's not
using his first name, Dave, said, you got to pave it 75 feet in. And I never understood why. And
we had trucks coming.
Well, who cares?
That was our only real traffic. It was
and it wasn't that often. But anyway, I never did it. I said, and then we moved. You know, we rented a bigger location, and we moved out. And we actually had the property up for sale at one point, and then we decided we'd move back. At the time we decided to move back, my landlord was giving me a hard time. I come to find out he had broken up with his girlfriend. And I'd come in with the rent like 2 days later or something. And he kind of cut me a new one. I'm like, you know what? No, I don't need this. I own a property. Let's move back. So we move back. We're going to move back. And I have to call DOT again for a driveway permit. And guess who I talked to? The same guy, 15 years from 15 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, Tom. Did you ever pave that?
He's writing up your fine right now because you're on the radio talking about how you didn't do it.
There was no fine, but the original agreement, and now it's paved, so tough noogies. But we had to do
how that works.
Yeah, we had to. There was a sort of a thing that was added to our deed that we were going to pave it with the DOT, but it's done now.
That wasn't our. He wasn't our landlord when we moved here.
No, but it was a thing that was added to the deed. I remember way back 20 years ago.
No. The landlord you're talking about wasn't our landlord when we moved here. The other guy was.
It doesn't matter who it was. The guy who got pissed at me, basically. Excuse my.
Hey, all your landlords got pissed at you at some point or another.
That's true. That is true. Very true.
Now it's a catch 22 because you're getting pissed at yourself because you're like, where's my money? And you're like, I don't have it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all that driveway.
you're feeding yourself a cock and bull story.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you know it's a cock and bull story.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that happy note, we got to take a break. Well, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be right back with Pete.
John and Mitchie, we're getting kind of itchy just to leave the folk music behind. It's all ended in working for a penny, trying to get a fish on the line. In a coffee house, Sebastian sat, and after every number they had that.
Quinn and McGuire's just a getting hired in L.A., you know where that's at.
And no one's getting fat except Mama.
It is 9:39. We got Pete on line three there. Are you still there, Pete?
Yes, sir.
You're not swamped with customers yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. So what do you
think? I did have a customer yesterday. Some poor folks came in. They didn't know that we were barred off, but they still had looked around at cars and stuff.
Yeah, good. So what do you think of my plan to get your mother to drive a car?
I think you just have her come, well, look, maybe Monday before we put the cars back, she just comes down and drives one around
here.
We
could do that, but here's the thing. It's going to cost $1,000. We're going to do a GoFundMe, I think. But we're going to do YouTube video, and that's where we're going to make the money. Because it's going to be a hoot. Because I've been in the car with your mother when she's been behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, you're right. That is parking lot is perfect for her to learn to drive.
Oh, there's plenty of space right now.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, as of noon today, we can drive across it.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to stop on it, but
yeah.
So you can bring her down this weekend.
Okay. You think she would take an IOU? Because it's going to cost us. She's going to, you know, she's going to be like a pit bull.
But I'm a little strapped this month.
She's going. Well, I am too. She's going to be like a pit bull, though, in terms of wanting her money after she does it, after she drives the car.
Half now, half later.
But it was. I know. I'm trying to remember. I think I was trying to teach her on an old Volvo 140 that was an automatic, because you know, a clutch was not going to. That was not in the equation. For somebody to learn to drive, my friend Jim, who I still have to like because he's my friend, but he's in Venice right now, and
Italy?
Venice, Italy. He's 2 weeks. 2 weeks
why?
In Italy, because he's half Italian, like me.
Yeah, but you know why?
Because it's Italy, Pete.
We got everything in America.
No, we don't
America's
got that.
Got all the different places. Who wants to go swimming around in a filthy river?
No, you know, I don't think he's going swimming. I don't think he's going swimming. I think he's going to look at Venice. Just speaks for itself, and every other beautiful old town does as well. I'm afraid he might not come back. Which, like, who could blame him? That's like Massimo was in Sardinia, which, by the way, he opened at 9 o'clock. Is open to 3 today. But Massimo was swimming in Sardinia. Everybody was freezing because the air temperature was like 70 degrees. Oh, my God, it's so cold.
It's like sardines.
Yeah, well, there you go. You could go to Sardinia. It looks gorgeous. It really does. But anyway, my friend Jim is there for 2 weeks, and I said, you got to take a lot of pictures for me.
If I was going to Italy, I don't think I'd go to Venice.
Oh God, you'd have to go to Venice at some
point. No. You go to Naples, you go to Rome.
Pompeii. I want Pompeii, man.
Ostia. You gotta go to Sicily just to see, you know.
Some of those people who were covered by the volcano in Pompeii could have been relatives, you know. We should go visit.
I don't want to see the volcano people. That's a downer.
No, but I want to see the ruins. The ruins are stunning. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to see. And Rome, absolutely. You got to see Rome. Milan, I'd like to see. I've seen enough of that. They do these videos around Christmas time where they do, somebody gets a really a 4K type camera and just walks around, takes video of Christmas markets and stuff in Europe, like in Vienna. And
you love those.
Oh, they're great. And the one they did in Milan was absolutely Milan and Florence are just absolutely amazing.
There's not even any Christmas music in those. They're just wandering around.
No, they got Christmas music. Well, in Vienna, they had Christmas music. I don't remember in Italy if they had it. You know, they got
their own. What somebody ought to do? They ought to build a replica of the Roman Colosseum.
Okay.
Yeah, like a nice one where you could actually sit and we could have actual, like,
we got 10
acres. They could have actual gladiatorial combat, and they could, because, you know, that thing was built so they could flood it with water and have, you know, little naval battles.
Well, we've got that.
You know?
We've got that flooded area out back. We're already one step there.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, why don't we just build the Colosseum out back? I'd go wherever they put that up. I would go get some bread and cheese and watch. You know, have a hot flagon of wine. Watch, you know, it'd be like, they're not really going to be slashing each other with, you know, swords and axes and stuff. But, you know, like foam ones.
Okay.
Watch them, you know, like that restaurant Medieval Times from that Jim Carrey movie, Cable Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That was a real place. I was going to go to one once, but it was like $80 a plate, which I thought was excessive. But now it's like $80 to feed people at Burger King, so.
Yeah. See, that was an opportunity missed right there.
Yeah, combat.
So, before I forget,
yes,
I want to comment on the fact that we have a couple of cars that are coming out on Monday that are not, we have not even discussed, one of which is a 2012 Nissan Leaf. And it's going to be a cheap date. It's an electric car. Going to be cheap. It's going to be for somebody who lives in town, doesn't drive a lot, or lives on an island. It's an older car, lower miles range, about 50 miles range thereabouts. And but it, you know, for a cheap car for scooting around your local area, and again, an island is perfect for it. That's the ticket right there. I love that car. It's just a fun car to drive. And we also did we put it up, I think, online. We have a plug-in Prius, right? Is that up online?
I don't think so. I think we put that out like the day before they came to plow. So
we didn't put it up. We have a 2012 plug-in Prius with 153.
Yes, sir.
It's ready to go. We did a little bit of work to it. I guess it needed an exhaust manifold and a couple other things. But that's ready to roll, and that'll be out there on Monday, and then whole bunch of other stuff.
All sorts of fun cars.
Yeah, and we're gonna try.
We have pavement, so now you can roll around on the ground and look underneath them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you've been all those people who want to look underneath cars, you're not lying in the dirt. You're lying on brand new, clean pavement, except for where
you're lying on asphalt.
You've noticed the footprints that come out of my shop and go across the pavement. The dirt is now in my shop, coming out onto the pavement, as opposed to the dirt going into the shop from the driveway being mud.
Yeah, it used to be we could just brush the sweep the shop out the door.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
Do that anymore?
Oh,
no.
God. So I've got to get the shop clean somehow.
Mm.
I'll leave that for you to figure out today while you're there.
What, shop clean shop? No, I got more rocks I got to move.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the owners of this property prior to us, this is going back 20, 25 years, they had a little rock shop here, right? Mm. And at the end of the year, stuff that wouldn't sell, they would just dump it outside. So there's all these just hunks of granite and stuff. You know, there's all these little rocks. Don't get excited if you're into rocks. It's nothing good. But there's just like a, I just keep, there's more of them and more of them and more of them, and I'm just trying to get the area next to the office level. I probably rolled 10 wheelbarrows of rocks off to the side yesterday.
Well, you know, I had somebody who was into geology come down when we, early on when we moved in there, took a whole bunch of rocks out of the front of the building. Then I think Hillary came down and got rocks.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep people from doing that. So the rocks aren't interesting. They're in the swamp now. Forget it. Don't listen to him. All the good ones are gone.
Okay. I've got a message here. Try taking a bus down from the Amalfi Coast. You pray to God that whoever did the brakes knew what they were doing. Otherwise, you're in a 200-foot drop to the sea. Well, I tell you, quick side story. My uncle and aunt and their children owned a resort on the Amalfi Coast.
It was a palace.
No, this was a resort. This was a hotel, not the palace. They also own a palace.
They have more money than us.
Yeah, they have a little bit more money than us. Also have a palace in Naples that is a resort. They closed the one on the Amalfi Coast because of the, I think, the logistics. And the palace in Naples that my cousin runs is host to the Ferrari Club of Naples, of which my cousin is president.
And he's got a helicopter pad.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I think my mother should have taken me back to Italy.
I think you should have stayed in Italy.
Oh, my goodness. But that ship has sailed.
I'm happy. Anybody got any heating questions or anything?
No, I guess not. I guess phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. We still have a little time. I'm debating what I want to do for heat next year because we have all this firewood everywhere. I mean, you don't go down any street anywhere in Maine. And there's firewood everywhere. I've got firewood. You know, when we did the carport last year, I had a tree guy come take down some pretty big trees that were, I was concerned about them overhanging from shade, but also a brilliant insight on my part. They could have blown over, and they probably would have, given the storm we had, because we had 1, 2, 3 right adjacent, far enough away that if they blew in the right direction, they would have taken out the array anyway. There were spruce trees, and those are gone, but they're right by the side of the road. But all that firewood, he said, you want me to cut it up into stove length? I said, sure. So I've been moving this wood into my carport, which, by the way, I am on the hunt for plastic pallets. I found some, I think, down in Rockland. I might have to go down and get some. I want to have the firewood stacked up, not on the ground, and I prefer not to use wood pallets. So I'm getting to the point where I can organize inside the building now. We take the staging out, and there you go. We could put two cars. It's the Bat Cave. That's what it is.
Hot dog.
Yeah, kind of cool. So lawnmower's coming out this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
That festivity's
probably getting there.
Yeah. That was the other thing about paving, that we had grass and stuff growing right adjacent to the shop.
Yeah, it was an endless battle trying to keep that stuff down.
And we would get ticks in there. And
I never found ticks in there.
I did, and Maria did. So now the ticks will roast on the hot pavement, and I just love it. So let's go over to line
ticks, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, we got a phone call here, Pete. Let's see if we can take it. Good morning, you're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Hey, Tom, I got a hypothetical question for you. I have a 2018 Ford Focus, and of course, when I bought it, I did the typical guy thing and did no research on it. It has that dual clutch transmission, which they've had all kinds of problems with. There was even a class action lawsuit against Ford, and they extended the warranties. If this was you, would you get rid of this vehicle where you could, where it's still running good and no issues, or what would you do?
I would. You know, I had a acquaintance who had picked one up as a replacement car, and I don't know them that well, except I drove by and I saw it was gone pretty quick. I know enough about them that I would never buy one. I like them. I think they're great cars, but they just don't stand up. I'd let it go.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. While it still has value, it's a good time to see if you can get a trade on it or sell it outright.
The good thing about this, too, I use it for work, and I get a vehicle allowance, so, I mean, I could get another vehicle and make a $400 payment with no problem. So
sure.
That's what I'll probably do, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck. Sorry to hear that. You know, it's unfortunate. I like Ford vehicles. It seems to me that most Ford automobiles have real transmission problems, or at least the Focus and Fiestas, especially the automatics, have real issues.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's still running good and it's not showing any signs of issue yet, I would let it go, because, I mean, you don't want to wait for a class action lawsuit or a recall to, you know, by the time that goes into effect, you're not going to have it anymore, or you'll already have problems, rather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, because I think the style, you know, they're decent cars, you know, come on,
the
guys.
The old Focuses were tanks. I mean, like, all sorts of little stuff would go wrong, but it was all dumb stuff. Like, the clock would stop working. They'd make weird noises that nobody could explain, but they just ran nonstop, you know?
Yeah. They were, I don't know if you remember the Focus that I picked up for your brother that was in the accident. We did a video on it. We did a TV show where I fixed it with a forklift. It had been hit in the front. And it came, I think I had it chained to the truck or something. It must have been a truck. And I was doing something with the forklift, and it came out, and this doesn't happen very often, perfect. Absolutely spot on where it was supposed to be. And I'm like, this is incredible. How the hell did I, you know? And the video is me bouncing the friggin' thing up and down and torquing it around. And a
broken clock's right twice a day.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen very often, but it did on that one. It was good. Usually I just tear them apart when I do that. But that was maybe 98, something like that, something of that vintage. And it was a decent car. It was a decent car.
They have a 98?
The Focus, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was some advanced model. I forget the name of it now, but it was a stick shift. It was a decent car. But, oh, well. So, look, for the day here today, Pete is going to be there till 3 o'clock.
I'm here for some reason.
And if you want to look at cars, he will show you the cars. I guess we could pull them out if somebody wants to go for a test drive. We can get it across the parking lot, but the parking lot is closed off, so you'll be parking on Route 1 to get in. And on Monday we'll be back to normal. All the things will be down, all the barriers will be down, and all the cars will be out. And
Wait. I mean, how are we gonna, like, what if it's a car that's behind five other cars?
Well, you're gonna, you know, you,
yeah, but where am I gonna put the five other cars to get to the car?
You got parking back there. I think you're up for it. I really do.
All right.
I think it'd be good.
All right, it's your call.
I think it'd be good for people to keep you busy. What is it to say, idle hands are the devil's plaything?
Hey, I got plenty to do.
Okay.
I don't see anybody else doing the landscape.
No, but I mean, and you know, if Pete's moving rocks, you can join in. He'll talk to you while you're moving rocks. Pete, I'll see you in a little while.
All right.
See everybody on Monday morning, bright and early. Big day. Thanks, Pete.
And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all. T-Rubbles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine.